Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is FPC Radio Live. It's Wednesday, the 17th of May. And John, your Los Angeles LeBrons are down one game to none after falling to the Nuggets last night in Game 1 of the Western Conference Final. They almost came back. They almost came back. But when Jokic has 32 rebounds and 12 in the first quarter, 32, John, 32. I mean, what? And it wasn't like that's all he did either. I mean, come on. Like, it's almost comical to look at his stat line from last night. But with that said, I mean, the Lakers almost pulled off a pretty impressive comeback. Needless to say, though, they are down one game to none. And, how are they going to slow him down?
He's incredible. I mean, really, you know, the perfect passer rating for an NFL quarterback is 158.3. Mm-hmm. He had one of those last night, right? 34 points, 21 rebounds, 14 assists. Like, any one of those stat lines individually in a game is outstanding. He did it all at once. He's a quarterback who threw for 350, ran for 100. And, oh, by the way, the running back fumbled and he made the tackle, you know, to save a touchdown. That's how good Nikola Jokic was last night. And so efficient he is.
Yeah.
Problem 17 from the floor, 3 of 3 from three. I mean, the guy is just like some sort of prehistoric basketball player that we look at and go, there's no way this guy can be this good. Look, Anthony Davis had 40 points and 10 rebounds. LeBron had 26, 12, and 9. Austin Reeves had 23. If you told me before the game those three guys were going to put up those numbers, I'd say the Lakers are going to be up one game to none. Jokic was just otherworldly last night.
Yeah, and look, I know it's – and a lot of people are doing it, you know, right off the bat, you know, going back to the MVP race. And, you know, obviously Joel Embiid won the MVP, but and he deserved it. And I think people are kind of going back and saying, well, maybe he shouldn't have because, well, look at Jokic. You know, look at what he's been able to do and what he's doing continuously in the playoffs. You know, this isn't, you know, the 76ers haven't even got to the conference finals, let alone the NBA finals. And at least Denver's been there with them. It was phenomenal to watch. And what was it, 12 rebounds in the first quarter? I think he had 4 rebounds on one possession. Like,
well, that's the other thing, too. A big reason the Lakers lost last night is Denver shot 55% from the floor, which is extraordinary. They also had 15 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, it almost felt like Denver scored on every possession. In terms of the MVP, you can make a case that Embiid wanted the MVP so much that it may have cost his team in the postseason. He kind of wore down as the season went on. He got injured in that series against Brooklyn. Jokic took the last couple of weeks of the regular season off, probably cost him the MVP, but now you have a fresher player who's been by far the best player in this postseason.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he's won back-to-back MVPs. He's been to the conference final. Obviously, just getting there isn't going to be satisfying, and perhaps even just winning an NBA MVP isn't necessarily going to be satisfying for him. Which look, I don't blame him. After a while, you just want to win. I mean, someone posted, I can't remember what network or whatever, but someone posted just a which career would you rather have in the NFL? And they list Calvin Johnson and Julian Edelman. And obviously Calvin Johnson, Hall of Famer, but whose career would you rather have? I'd say Julian Edelman
Calvin Johnson.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. I mean, maybe you're different,
very,
John.
I'm very, very shallow, Ian. You know that by
I
now.
Know.
I'm very shallow. But, winning doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, you sound like a lot of people on Twitter. So, where winning is the least important thing in sports, apparently, which I still can't figure that one out. But you kind of derailed me on this one because I'm thinking you're going to agree with me 100%. But look, I'm looking at it from the sense that, like, when it's all said and done, yeah, obviously there's a great honor in being a Hall of Famer. That is something that you will be for the rest of your life. It keeps you a part of the game because it doesn't just end when you get nominated and elected to the Hall of Fame. Obviously, there's a lot of things that come with being a Hall of Famer. But I can tell you this, I'm pretty sure Julian Edelman's feeling pretty good sitting at home with his three massive rings. And look, I understand that, like, look, I don't think Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Patriots Hall of Famer. But that's the point. Do you want, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but if you're Jokic, do you want more MVPs or do you want to be a champion?
Oh, at this point, be a champion. Yeah, because he has those two MVPs, right? And again, it's kind of a similar path to what Giannis did. Giannis won back-to-back MVPs, got bounced in the playoffs prematurely, and then the next year won the championship. That's why when the season started, I picked Denver to win the whole thing, and I'm backing away from it now for some reason, because, of course, they're playing the Lakers and LeBron. But, yeah, it's a similar pathway. Like, you get those MVPs out of the way, and now you're ready to win. And, again, he has the players around him, and he makes them better, that they have a real opportunity to win. I think this is still going to be a long series because, you know, the Lakers play great defense. They didn't necessarily do that last night, but it should be still a long series. But that's a great point, Ian. Again, you got to remember my favorite athlete of all time, Barry Bonds, never won anything other than seven league MVPs. But baseball's a little bit different, right? Completely different than the quarterback position.
I feel like players' legacies are far less dependent on championships in baseball.
And I
think that's fine. Like, I think that makes sense from a, you know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily have a great explanation as to why I think it makes sense, but it does make sense. Like, I do think championships are important in football. I think they're important in basketball, especially in basketball, too, because it's such an individual. As an individual, if you're a great player, you have such a great impact on the game. So I think you have a great impact on whether you win or lose an NBA championship. But yeah, I think, I don't know, just in baseball, it just doesn't seem as important. Because the thing with baseball is, and this is what people try to do, especially with football, and it's just impossible to do. They want to treat statistics the same way we treat statistics in baseball, where it's a far more analytical, mathematical game. There's far more, I guess, legitimacy in the numbers. And I'm not saying that numbers mean nothing in football. I think I don't think any of us have fully grasped the importance or significance of any number, to be honest with you. Because, like, I mean, to be honest, if you know, there's a lot of people out there that love EPA. I guarantee you, if I ask them, what is the significance? And I'm not saying regurgitate the definition on a website. I'm saying, what is the significance of a 0.21 EPA and a 0.18? And I guarantee you're not going to get a good answer because we don't really understand it. And I'm not saying that's because we're incapable of understanding it. It's just these numbers aren't what we think they are, and what we think, or some of us think they are, is predictive and definitive on performance. And we don't get that in football. We get that in baseball. And I think that's probably why there's more of a emphasis on individual numbers. And plus, baseball is just kind of all screwed up altogether when it comes to how they remember the history of their game. But, you know, in basketball at this point, yeah, Jokic has the two MVPs. I mean, how many more MVPs is it going to take? Like, at this point, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? If he wins three or four MVPs, he's still going to be spoken of. If he never wins a championship, it's kind of like, what, Karl Malone?
Right. Yeah, two MVPs with no championships. Exactly, like Karl Malone, right? And you look at players like Kobe and Shaq, who, incredibly, only won one MVP each.
Yeah.
But they're considered all-time greats and are all-time greats because Kobe has five championships and Shaq has four. And the whole baseball thing is so interesting. It's the most individual of all sports, but it's the most team reliant of all sports.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Barry Bonds could have hit four home runs in one game in the World Series, and the Giants still could have lost because their pitcher was bad that day.
Yeah, they could have come out of the inning down. That inning,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Look at the great players in baseball. I can just run a list of them, and if you add up all the World Series, it doesn't even approach Derek Jeter, who has five. We're talking about, like, Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., Ted Williams, Ty Cobb. All those great players combined have won exactly two World Series. Then we can, you know, add on Mike Trout with one playoff appearance. All of those guys are better than Derek Jeter's baseball players. I don't think that's even a debate, but Jeter's a winner. He won five World Series. So that's what, you know, added to his legacy. Football is obviously completely different, especially at the quarterback position. The one sport that's kind of weird to gauge is hockey. Now, you're the goalie. Like, obviously, that kind of factors into the legacy of goalies, and that's why Brodeur and Patrick Roy are considered, along with Dominic Hasek, the three best goalies of probably the last, 30 years?
Yeah, I'd
somewhere around there.
Easily.
You know, those things, they all won. But even the great players, I mean, Bargnani only has 2 Stanley Cup championships. Gretzky, as great as he was, has 4. Lemieux has 2. I mean, like John Beliveau, I think, has more than anyone. Mm-hmm. Great player, all-time top 10 player, but no one thinks he's as great as those other 3 players that we mentioned. So, yeah, it is quite interesting. And, man, Jokic, it's just so – it's almost comical watching him play. It almost feels like a dad playing with, like, his 13-year-old son and their friends. Like,
not being kind about it. Like, this is a dad who's, like, still trying to win, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The great Santini. I mean, I know it's an old reference, but, you know, apropos.
No, I'm right there with you. It is a joy to watch. And look, I mean, the Lakers – for everything that just happened, I mean, they came pretty darn close to, you know, I'm not going to say pulling off an upset, but, you know, maybe they don't start, if they don't start as slow as they did, you know, I know they, you know, LeBron scored the first basket of the game, but, you know, what, I think Denver hit the next 4 or 5 shots or something like that. And really kind of, they were just kind of playing from behind right from the get-go. And, you know, they made it a game late. What was it within 3 or whatever in the last minute and 15 seconds? So, it's certainly not over, and I can't imagine he's going to average 32 rebounds a game. If that happens, Sean, well,
put up like Will Chamberlain. Yeah, Bill Russell,
that's what I'm thinking. Seriously. I'm like, wait a minute, is this, you know, the 1960s all over again? What's going on here?
Well, he kind of looks like a player from the 1960s.
Yeah,
he has like no muscle definition. I look at him, and it's just all this like. I mean, this is an old player that we used to always make fun of. Billy Paulson played for the San Antonio Spurs. If you just Google him and you just say, this guy played in the NBA for a dozen years, just kind of look at him and go, it doesn't seem like his body would last that long. This guy's just, he's phenomenal. I don't want to go this far with the compliment, but he almost plays basketball the way Brady played quarterback. Like, he's just in complete control of the situation.
Yeah.
He's moving at his own pace. He's just picking out what's available.
It's the game. The game is slow for him. The game is slow for him.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's
pretty amazing to watch.
And yeah, I'm actually. That was a very, very appropriate time to bring up the Spurs too, because that's a great way to transition here off game one of last night. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Celtics and Heat here, who get tipped off tonight. But talk about efficiency, though, John. Has there ever been a team that's been more efficient at the number one overall pick? David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and now, John, I'm throwing it to you to pronounce the name completely, because I'm not going to put that out there with my voice.
Victor Wembanyama.
There you go. I knew you could do it. I could do it. I knew I could do it, but I wanted to make sure you could do it.
Last name is Sapichetti. I'm pretty good at last names. Yours is a lot easier.
I'm good. I'm like George. I'm good at spelling last names. I'm not quite good at pronouncing them. Dalrymple, not even close. last night, obviously, they won the draft lottery, and I was railing last week about things that are planned in sports, like the script, you know, everyone should go, oh, this is scripted. Like, the one thing that I do believe could be scripted is these draft lotteries in the NBA and the NHL in particular, because it's there is so much room for foul play, so to speak, with how these things are done and produced and displayed to people. I don't really care, to be honest with you, but when it comes to, you know, those conspiracy theorists out there, man, you're having a field day right now knowing that the Spurs, who over the last couple of years have been down in the dumps, and Greg Popovich is still around, and all of a sudden you're going to get a career rejuvenation, so to speak, with what could be a generational player. And if you're a Spurs fan, you got to be pretty happy right now.
The whole thing with Big Vic, and that's what we'll call him from now on.
Big Vic, I like that.
For people to say that. Yeah, Big Vic, who is listed anywhere from 7'3 to 7'5, and I guess when you're that tall, you know, what's 2 inches? It's not like Bryce Young. Is he 5'10? Is he 5'11? Maybe
5'10 and a half.
Right. Yeah. Now we're doing 1/2 inches, obviously, with quarterbacks. But, you know, you look at his game, and he's being compared to the all time greats already, and he hasn't even played. I mean, the way the scouting report on him is, he's a bigger, more athletic version of Kevin Durant. Now, that seems really scary. Last night on ESPN, Woj was saying that he may be the greatest prospect in the history of all of sports, not just basketball.
That's
a lot to say, right? Because I think most people agree he's the best prospect since LeBron. And probably before LeBron, the best prospect, of course, was the then Lou Alcindor in the late 60s. So, you know, those are the three guys that were pretty much can't miss. I mean, Duncan and Ewing and a lot of these guys were considered can't miss, but not quite at this level where they're already saying this guy in 3 years will be the best player in the league and looks like he's going to be an all-time great. I think Wayne Gretzky comes to mind when I think of prospect who in his third year in the NHL scored 92 goals and, you know, like, was 11 years old, was playing with kids in high school. So I think that that might be the one to look at. But, yeah, the skill set is off the chart. But, again, we still don't leave a lot of these big guys to not last because, again, those body types are extreme.
Well, and like, look, I mean, that's – man, just saying all of sports is one is pretty – that's a bold, bold take. And, like, even in his own sport because, like, you know, we're not talking about trying to go back to – you know, the 60s to try to remember or 70s to remember some prospect. Like, I mean, LeBron James, I mean, the hype around him and like for, you know, say what you will about him. You might be a fan. You might not be a fan. We know where you stand, John. But the reality of it is, I mean, this is a guy who was covered since he was a you know, his hair was first receding back when he was 16 years old. I mean, this is a kid who's been in the spotlight his entire late teen, early adult, mid, and now late adult life, you know, relative to the sport of basketball. Obviously, he's not 40, so he's not necessarily late in life, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just, so, yeah, that's a bold, bold, bold statement to make. And then you get into the prospect of talking about all of sports, and yeah, I think Wayne Gretzky is a great comp. You know, obviously, you know, to a far lesser degree, Sidney Crosby got a lot of hype heading into it and obviously lived up to it. Certainly not on the level of Wayne Gretzky, so it's not even comparable, even as great as Crosby was. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's a lot of pressure to put on a young kid. And, you know, I'll obviously be interested to see how it plays out. But, you know, landing on a pretty good spot, they have a pretty good history of doing some good things with some bigs.
They're kind of like the Hillary Swank of the NBA, right? She got two Oscar nominations and won two Oscars.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eli Manning going to two Super Bowls and being MVP in one game, and for the rest of his career was kind of like me.
Yeah, well, you know, San Antonio, I mean, I don't know if you want to be compared to Hillary Swank and Eli Manning. So I'm not quite sure I'd be so thrilled with that comparison. But anyways, tonight we have a tip-off of Celtics and Heat Game 1, rematch of last year, rematch of the bubble conference final, the rubber match, obviously Miami won in 2020, the Celtics won last year, barely, we remember Jimmy Butler missed a chance to send his team or give his team the lead late. You kind of have to like the Celtics in this, and I know it's a great story, the media loves Jimmy Butler, but you know, the Celtics are just a better team. And we talked about this, I believe, earlier this week or even last week, probably earlier this week because, well, I don't think we knew the matchups the last time last week. But this is where I think those injuries the Heat suffered are really, really going to kind of be front and center because I don't think they'd normally be able to match up with the depth that the Celtics have, but you're going to be stretched pretty thin, and I think you're going to be asking quite a bit of Jimmy Butler, and I think he's going to deliver for the most part, but there's only so much that he can do against the Celtics team alone.
Yeah, no Tyler Hero, who, you know, is quite capable of averaging 20 points per game. Kyle Lowry's coming off the bench now. He's in his late 30s, you know, he's at the end of his career. I think that Bam Adebayo is better this year than he was last year, so that could be a factor. And look, they're just a tough team. They really are. I mean, they kind of have a vibe like the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they just keep showing up. They're mentally and physically tough. I'm thinking more of the Ravens when Ray Lewis and Ed Reed were there, where you just couldn't kill them. You know, they played the Patriots, what, four times in the playoffs, like in a six-year period, and every game was a war. and every game was at Gillette Stadium, and they split with the Patriots. They have that type of vibe. They're very, very tough to knock down. I think Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the business. And look, if it gets to Game 7, they're not going to lay down like Philadelphia did in the second
half.
Embiid and Harden kind of just threw in the towel. That team doesn't do it. Celtics are better. But, you know, the Celtics always have a tendency of making you believe that they're clearly the best team, and then they'll just put forth a stinker, right? Yeah. I mean, they do this a lot. Now, I talked about this with Jet Stryer on the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Staff, which you can hear on full press coverage.
Nice.
I'm very good at plugging things.
No, I like it.
Yeah. You know, trained radio professional, aren't we? Both of us. So, you know, we do the best we can, segues and all that.
I was going to say professional, but might be a little too strong a word for us, but, you know, we show up.
We get paid. That makes us professional.
Yeah, that's true.
We do show up. Yeah, we're on time. But
we can't say that. Because...
No, we can't do that. We just kind of float along.
Yeah. You know, we might want to just start trying to praise ourselves because everything we're saying.
We're here now.
We're here now. That's all that matters.
But what I was trying to get at with the Celtics, I think everyone agrees they have the best roster in the NBA, but they're not the Warriors of Durant and Curry and those guys. They're not LeBron and Wade and Bosh with the Heat. Obviously, forget Jordan and the Bulls in the 90s. They're the best team, but the margin and the difference between them and the second, third, and fourth best team isn't all that wide. So this is what you get, six or seven-game series, because they're imperfect. They're outstanding, but, you know, they're not at that level. And you know what? The league is deeper now than it's been in years. You know, the talent spread out. You don't have these super teams. So you're going to get 6 and 7-game series, which is great for the league. I mean, the last round you had, what, 3 6-game series and a 7-game series? That's great. I mean, when Golden State was just rolling through people, it was like sweep, sweep, 5-game sweep. I mean, it just was like, okay, what are we exactly watching here?
Yeah, we're watching a movie we already know the end to, and it's like here at least, like, you know, the Celtics are good, but they're, like you said, they're always good for a nice stinker here and there, and it's going to make things interesting. But yeah, I mean, like, look, I think this is probably going to go 6. I think, like, because again, I just don't, I feel like the Celtics might have learned some lessons the last couple series, but then again, I mean, I don't know. I think they're going to come out strong tonight, and I think that's really going to kind of set the tone early for this series. Not to say that it's impossible for the Heat to come out in Game 2 and win one on home court, but I do think that they're going to come out, and I said this on Monday or Tuesday or whenever the hell we talked before. They've learned from losing, I think. And I think they have a deeper roster. I mean, when you have Brogdon, you know, off the bench, sixth man of the year, I think that makes a huge difference. We talk about the difference from the Heat this year and last year. Well, I think that's a huge difference. That's something the Celtics didn't have necessarily last year. And then you add that with extra bench, you know, extra, you know, depth off the bench with, like, Derek White and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I like the Celtics in the series. I think it's not going to be easy. I don't think there's necessarily going to be. If any team blows any team out, it's going to be the Celtics blowing out the Heat. But I don't know if that's going to happen in any game. Maybe one. Maybe game one it might happen.
Yeah, in one of those series where the Celtics win 4-2 and they outscore the Heat by, like, 80 points in the series. But the Heat win a couple of close ones. The Celtics win some blowouts because they're just better at that point. And, you know, you look at the depth of the Celtics, and I don't think you want to go into a series expecting this, but the Celtics won a game against Philadelphia, Game 2, when Jason Tatum scored 7 points, their best player. Then they also won in Game 6 when he scored 3 points in the first three quarters, and of course went off in the fourth quarter and scored 16 points. But, you know, it's a lot easier if Tatum is locked in and giving you his customary 30 points, but you can still win even if he has an off night because Brown can step up. Brogdon can step up, Smart, Horford, whoever. They've got the best roster in the NBA. There's no question in my mind that they do, and it's very versatile. And now that you got Rob Williams starting, that's going to help their defense. Because Butler presents a lot of problems because he goes to the basket so well. I mean, he's kind of an old-school scorer. I think he hit 1 3-pointer against the Knicks in 6 games. It's just not what he does. But if you've got the double bigs in there, maybe you can kind of sway him from going to the hoop as strong because they got 2 shot blockers in there instead of one. But I like the Celtics in 6. I always seem to pick 6 games, like, you know, which is kind of a, I don't know.
It's safe because you can't. It either goes 5 or 7, so you're close. You're one off either way. It's kind of you're hedging your bets a little bit, so to speak. But look, I mean, you got to figure like this. The Celtics team isn't as, you know, of a sure thing at home. So you got to figure there's going to be at least an expected loss there. Maybe in one of those, you know, early 3 games. Obviously, you don't want it in the 4th game at home because that means, well, you lost game 7. You don't want that. And then you got to figure that maybe they're going to lose one in Miami. So there's 2 losses right there. So that's 6 games. So, I mean, it's a safe, it's a reasonable, very reasonable prediction because, again, this is 2 very good teams despite where Miami ended up in the standings. So,
yeah, an experienced team, obviously. I mean, Lowry, Kevin Love both have championships, and Love's been a nice addition, you know, giving you that veteran presence. They'll make those adjustments from game to game because they're so well coached. But I just think in the end, the Celtics are too good and, you know, will just be better than Miami because they quite frankly are. But it's not going to be easy. I think we all kind of agree with that.
And it all gets tipped off tonight. So that's going to do it for us here today. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to talk some hockey. Some more basketball for sure, and whatever else happens to come across our warped, messed up minds, the two of us. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Give us a follow on Twitter. It's at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31, and of course follow John. It's at JohnSap25. So thank you everyone, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.